Today on Hands On Photography, it's been a busy week in the world of photography and video. Why? Because there's been a conference happening, and we're going to talk about that conference. Yes, I said we, as in myself and someone else. Y'all stay tuned.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by AG1 by Athletic Greens. If you're looking for a simpler and cost-effective supplement routine, AG1 is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/hop. Hey, what's happening, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, and this is Hands On Photography here on TWiT TV. Hope y'all are doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. This has been a fun, busy week in the world of photography and videography and broadcasting. Why? Because NAB's been going down, y'all. And, you know, I didn't get to go to NAB this year. Man, I really wanted to go, but just wasn't in the cards. But I know a whole bunch of folks in my tiny little circle of friends that I am so honored to have that were able to make the trip, including today's guest. My man, Mr. Steve Brazel, went out to the NAB, went out there and checked out all of the ins and outs and the show floor and the strip and all of the fun times outside of the convention. And I said, you know what? I got to get you on, man. Please come on to the show and share what you found. Let everybody know here in the Hands On Photography community what's going on with NAB and what it means to all of us. So without any further ado, let me stop rambling. Let's welcome my man, Mr. Steve Brazel. How you doing, brother?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I'm really good. How are you?
Unbelievable as always, my man. Good to see you. And like I said, I really do appreciate you taking the time to join me because you pretty much just got back in town, and I know you're a little bit tired and just chugging some Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Try to keep
when you start putting more than one straw in the Diet Coke, you know you're tired. I left Vegas at 1:30 a.m. and drove home. I'm driving distance, and I made it home about 5:30 this morning and took a quick nap, and here we are. It's good to see you, my friend.
Geez, man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, for the folks that are new to NAB, you know, because my audience here on the show, they're not always up and up on some of the stuff that's been going on in the world of photography, because they're here to learn more about the world of photography and videography and so forth. What exactly is NAB?
National Association of Broadcasters. Okay. And NAB is, I mean, arguably, it's not the type of thing that is aimed at me. Like, you walk around NAB and you will see video screens like you would have at a stadium, right? Or you would have, you know, broadcast control boards for television, or you have a lot of radio stuff there. So it's more towards that cinema, movie, television, broadcast type world. But in today's day and age, there's a lot of overlap, right? You've got a lot of things. We've got, you know, my ATEM mini switcher from Blackmagic in front of me. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of things that are overlapping to individual creators like you and I. And those, it's funny sometimes when you go to a booth and they've got all this giant television broadcast equipment. And then in the corner is this little teeny thing for YouTubers. But it's there. They thought about us, and that's what matters.
So they're showing the little guys some love at this big old huge.
A little bit, yeah.
What you're saying.
Throwing us a bone.
That's all right. I love that stuff, man. Well, I know you had a whole lot of things you saw on that floor and pretty much wore your legs and your feet out running around on that show floor. So let's dive into some of the things that you saw or heard about while there at NAB that our Hands-On Photography listeners just might get some use of, you know, because I know you went to talk to the folks at Blackmagic, and you know how I feel about Blackmagic, considering the camera I'm staring at right now is a Blackmagic camera as well.
Are you on the Blackmagic 6K?
I am on the 6K, man. I love
that
this.
That explains why you look so right now.
I love this dadgum camera, man. It's so underrated for video. Oh gosh, but you stopped by their booth. Let me know what you learned from those folks.
It was actually interesting because there was a ton of cool stuff I saw at NAB that I loved, right? Uh-huh. But some of my favorite things are always at the Blackmagic booth. And interestingly enough, somebody that I was talking to, we were trying to figure out who had the largest booth. Uh-huh. And to me, it was absolutely no question. The Blackmagic booth is always huge. And they announced DaVinci Resolve 18.5 public beta. Yeah. And there are some features in DaVinci Resolve that, as a Final Cut Pro user, I wish that I had. They introduced speech to text. So you can take your clips and you can transcribe the audio within a clip. And that will allow you to actually search your media based on narrative content, or you can quickly generate subtitles for your video. The other thing that they introduced, I thought, was really interesting because when I first saw the demo of it, it kind of struck me almost Photoshop-y. And that is something they called Relight.
Yeah.
The Relight tool looks at a clip and, based on light and shadow, judges the three-dimensionality of a clip and lets you add virtual light sources. Yeah. And one of the examples I saw was a car that was really shadowed on one side, but, you know, lit up on the top. And they added light sources to kind of fill in those shadows. And it was really neatly done. I can see, especially in a world if you don't want to shoot HDR.
Yeah.
You're shooting SDR and you do have some, you know, issues with your lighting in camera, or you've got some clipping going on in the blacks.
Because it happens.
And it happens, right? You just can't capture the dynamic range that you need. That was kind of a neat tool. And the last one really at the Blackmagic booth that I found interesting is in Fairlight. The audio portion of the software now supports groups for audio tracks. So you can group your audio tracks together for adjusting them, for muting them. And if you are, probably wouldn't affect somebody like me, but if you're doing, you know, more complex scenes where you have multiple audio tracks and you might have sound effects and you might have, you know, vocal one, vocal two, the ability, and let's say, actually, that's a good example. Let's say you've got three mics on three different people.
Yep.
It could just be an interview. You could level all of those first, then you group them, and any changes that you make.
Right. Makes it easy.
Are going to work across them. So that was the Blackmagic booth. And as always, you know, you look at it and you drool over the
and a lot of things that Blackmagic does, I don't think they get enough credit for, because, yes, you mentioned how big their booth was. It's because they have a lot of broadcast heavy stuff there. I mean, that's their thing. The ATEM Mini, which most of us have, is based off of their big ass ATEM. It's a huge device that's similar to what we use at TWiT with the TriCaster that does that handles switching inputs and managing inputs, usually SDI inputs. It's a legit broadcast studio tool, and they got a bunch of different things like that. But with that said, their CEO has been pretty vocal about, you know what, we already know the people up at the high end, they're going to buy this piece of equipment for $15,000-$20,000. They don't even care about the price. They just want it to work. What we want to do is capture that person that is just getting started and want to go a little bit beyond their, say, DSLR for video, or beyond, you know, and get more into the nuance of color grading. So let's put something that's out there at a price point that'll, you know, at least pique their interest, and then make the software free.
right.
You know, then we'll make the software free and let them get a nice taste of what it's like to edit in this. But say, you know what, we're not going to charge you a subscription either. It's a flat $300 if you want to go to the pro suite. And then they just hook you in. And I've said,
but what you can do in the free version of DaVinci is insane.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, that's a pro piece of software on the free level.
Yeah.
Most individual creators don't need that, but I completely agree with you. Yeah. You walk through that booth, and one thing I notice when I walk through the Blackmagic booth always is, this is going to be the wrong term. I was going to say it's one of the more professionally laid out booths, and that's not true. They're all professionally laid out, but it's one of the more real demo booths, right? I mean, when you see this set up, it makes you drool over all of it and aspire to getting there.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, we talk about the DaVinci Resolve here on the show fairly regularly. Again, it's a free piece of software, and there's this studio version or pro version, if you will, that's for $300. And the two main differences in these packages are the free version or light version does not have GPU acceleration effects. So some things you do in it are going to feel slow until you render them out. Okay, so that's going to happen. And then every now and then there's some effects in the pro side that they don't put in the free version. You know, like I don't believe this new lighting effect that we just mentioned here in the beta, I don't believe that's going to be available in the free version, but you might have to check me up on that again, so don't hold me to it, but I don't think it's going to be available in the free. But a lot of the other stuff is going to be available in the free. Either way, it's a heck of a deal in my opinion. This episode of Hands on Photography is brought to you by AG1 by Athletic Greens. Look, like countless others, I wanted to support my health without incorporating a bunch of pills and sacrificing my taste buds and screwing up my liver. With AG1 by Athletic Greens, I'm able to give my body what it craves, all in a one daily nutritional drink. Let me tell you a little bit about AG1. AG1 was founded back in 2010, and it has been part of millions of routines since then. AG1 is the best all-in-one solution for daily nutrition. It saves you time, it saves you confusion, and of course, money, when each serving just costs you less than $3 a day. You get individual supplements, you know, from wherever, and that stuff can pretty much add up. Plus, AG1's daily habit gives you powerful long-term results. AG1 makes it easier for you to take the highest quality supplements. Whether it's improving digestion or supporting your sleep, AG1 is the best bang for your buck. AG1 is a seamless, easy daily habit. Just one scoop of AG1 in the morning covers your entire day's nutritional basis. You get all of your supplements and support your long-term gut health with AG1's 75 high-quality minerals, vitamins, pre and probiotics. I've been a fan of AG1 for quite some time now, and it's so awesome to have them supporting the show because I got to tell you, I'm the guy that wants to, you know, I want to get out there and work out and make sure my body is feeling good and in decent shape. But I also try to take care of what I intake, far as, you know, the food that I consume and the supplements that I consume. And you've all heard me talk about this stuff before, but you put too much in your body, it can screw up your gut. And I'm not talking about, you know, your belly hanging over your belt. I'm talking about the GI tract. And so I like to make sure my GI tract is nice and healthy. And I've spoken about eating nasty Greek yogurt every day as part of my morning routine. I can't stand that stuff, but I gotta have it. But AG1 is so good and can really, really help complement my morning routine. And it does a good job of making me feel good on the inside. I love this stuff. Athletic Greens is a climate neutral certified company. Athletic Greens believes that good nutrition should be available for all. That's awesome. For every purchase, they donate to organizations helping to get nutritious food to kids in need. That is big, because I got to tell you, a lot of kids today, they're not eating well today. And it's very unfortunate. And you can tell as they're getting older, body's not as healthy. Oh, so sad. So thank you and shout out to Athletic Greens for their donations and support. All right, for you listening to the show, if you're looking for a simpler and cost-effective supplement routine, AG1 by Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D. Boy, you know you need that vitamin. It's most people want to get it from the sun. That's great. It's great to have a supplement as well. But yes, AG1 by Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/hop. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/HOP, HOP for hands-on photography. Go check them out. And I appreciate AG1 by Athletic Greens for supporting hands-on photography. Now, Blackmagic side of the way. So you kept walking around and you're trying to shoot some B-roll there on the convention floor, and you're seeing all of these craptastic lights in the convention ruining your shot. But fortunately, yep, you came across another booth that probably got you squared away with the light and stuff going on for photography and video, right?
Yeah, I have never, like, I'm using an LED panel here, a Nanlite LED panel.
Nice.
The lights behind me are from Aputure. These are little teeny RGB lights behind me throwing the color up on the wall.
The MCs? And,
say again?
Are those, is that the MC? I can't remember.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, the RGB WWW or whatever it is. And they're little teeny things. They're magnetic. They recharge over, yep, you know, Qi charging. They're great little lights. And I like the Aputure stuff. But I've never grabbed, you know, big mono light type things. Mm. Well, at the Aputure booth, their Amaran line, they have two brand new lights. And I think for the first time, I actually looked at lights that I thought to myself, for my YouTube stuff, these would be awesome. Not to mention, if you were just, you know, not broadcast, yeah, and you needed some basic entry level cinema style lights, there's two of them. There's an Amaran 150C, that's 150 watts, mm-hmm, and there's an Amaran 300C, and that's 300 watts. Mm-hmm. And price-wise, let me throw that out front, because I really think that's a key part of these,
yeah,
in understanding why these lights, to me at least, are so attractive. The 150C, the Amaran 150C, is a retail price of $359. Mm-hmm. That's cheap.
Yeah.
The 300C is $569. And I've seen people like Curtis Judd did a video on these a couple of days ago, and he was using the 150C as his key light as he was reviewing them.
Yep.
And I got to say, to me, they looked fantastic. They're full color.
Yep.
Bowens mount. So tons of different modifier options that you've got. They're a single point LED light, and they're designed specifically for indie creators and indie filmmakers. You control them the same way I control these Aputure lights behind me, which is, mm-hmm, the Citus Link app, which is an amazing app. If you've never used, yep, I can pull up my phone right now,
yep,
and change the color of both of these at one time. Because they're full color, they have 9 different built-in lighting effects. Like if you're filming something and you want it to look like a fireplace is going off against the wall,
yeah,
they've got, you know, fire effects. Really, for the price, these looked really interesting to me. I should say,
no,
they're built like the price, mm-hmm, right? The Bowens mount is metal, but the unit itself is plastic, but they felt pretty solid to me.
So let me ask you this, and I know the answer to this, but I'm just trying to do this for our listeners. Most people hear Aputure light or Nanlite, but in particularly Aputure light, they think, man, those lights are expensive.
Yep.
How are these considered inexpensive? Is it because this, what differentiates this Aputure light from some of their other Aputure lights that's going to cost a lot more? Because they do have 150 lights out there already
that are a lot more money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Part of it's going to be build quality. Mm-hmm. So again, these are like a reinforced plastic. They don't at all feel fragile. That would be the wrong term.
Okay.
But the body is plastic. The mount is metal for the Bowens mount and for, you know, the light stand mount. Those are metal. Mm. When you go up, though, you're going to get a couple things. You're going to get better construction. You're going to get probably a metal body. You're going to get better case. So these come with like a foam type case,
right,
as opposed to something that you would throw in the cargo hold of a plane. A real road case. Mm. But you're also going to get color accuracy differences. So. Yeah. The test that I've seen, again, this one from Curtis Judd, amazing guy.
Yep, he's good.
Is that at 3,200, these things were really accurate. But as you went more towards daylight, 5,600, et cetera, the color accuracy was not there. Now, would that matter to me? Probably not. If it was anywhere close, I think it was forgive me, I'm throwing out numbers off the top of my head. I think the numbers he measured out of 100, he was in the high 70s at the 5,600, where he's in the high 80s or something like that around the 3,200. you know, look, Kelvin. Around 80 is not where you want to be.
The Kelvin
yeah,
count.
No, these are these are actually scores. Yeah, if you're around 5,600 Kelvin, look, if you're mixing them with a ton of other lights and their color accuracy is off, might you notice it? I suppose possible.
Yeah.
But if you're doing what I'm doing, if you've got a singular key light on there and you white balance your camera and you've got colored effects lights behind you, I don't think it's going to matter.
Right.
These looked really, really good for the price, but that's what you're going to get. I hit my microphone. That's what you're going to get with the higher end lights, better build quality and better color accuracy, which if you're doing movies, you need those cameras to always be the same color all the time.
Right. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice that they have a bit of a quote unquote budget option in their line of products, and they're pretty solid. I believe, because I can never remember, but because I've switched this key light of mine a gazillion times, I believe that is an Amaran light that I'm using. I think it's the 120D. I think it's a 120 daylight. And yes, I did have to adjust my white balance in my camera because I noticed it was just slightly off. And had just a little touch of green tint to it, but fortunately that's very easy to fix in post with just one slider.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, color accuracy is everything, but like photography, this is all this is the art of compromise.
Yeah.
If you want to spend $2,000 on a light, help yourself, and it's going to make your job easier in a number of different ways.
Yeah.
But for the price of that light, I could buy probably 8 of these.
Yeah.
So if I break it traveling to a gig, or if, you know, something else were to happen, I could have 8 lights.
Yeah.
So again, budget plays a role, your needs play a role, your mileage may vary type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just really excited. Specifically to me, it was the 150C, because to me it was really cool to see kind of an entry level 150 watt light. Mm-hmm. That's more than enough light as a key light.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a fan. My understanding is that when you get, you know, a meter away, that fan is not an issue from a video point of view.
That says a lot.
Meter and a half away. So to me, this is just, and again, full color. So now you've got that. If you wanted to use this and make somebody look like they were in a nightclub, you can throw blue on there if you want to.
Yep.
For just a ridiculous price to me at $360.
Very nice. Now, I know you have a bit of an affinity like I do for the folks at Canon. And Canon has been in the news for a little bit now because of their latest mirrorless bodies and the RF mount on there. And Canon has pretty much said, you know what? We're not fooling with third parties when it comes to putting lenses on our RF bodies. But you got your eyes on something over there. We talked about it over text, and it's like, oh, really? I saw the news about this too. So what did you see at NAB that makes you just sort of, want to think about this a little bit regarding Canon and RF mount?
Yeah, the news with Canon and RF mounts has been interesting. Specifically autofocus lenses. There's a number of third-party manual focus lenses out there, but there were some manufacturers, no names being mentioned, that decided to, on their own, produce RF mount autofocus lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And Canon sent them a cease and desist letter because it was not licensed. And there's been a lot of uproar about the fact that, look, we want Sigma lenses that are RF mount. We want Tamron lenses that are RF mount. But let's be honest, these are proprietary mounts and they fall under the IP of Canon. They have every right to enforce it, even if we as users.
Yeah, Canon's not wrong here.
No, they're not wrong. It's just disappointing that they wouldn't do it. And then this happened at the Mikey booth. M-E-I-K-E. Mm-hmm. I believe it's pronounced Mikey. They're very well known for cinema lenses. Well, they have the first ever, quote unquote, approved third-party autofocus lens for the RF mount.
Give me it's that. Give me the air quotes there, Steve.
Yeah.
Approved.
Approved, right? Because that's the key. If it wasn't approved, they sure as hell wouldn't have added it in AB. Canon. In fact, there was a Canon booth around the corner, and the Canon staff probably would have surrounded their booth saying, stop. It's the first ever approved AF lens for a Canon RF mount. And what's interesting is no one's talking about the fact that this lens, which is an 85-1.4.
Nice.
That's interesting. Nice. Like, that's going to be awesome, right? Well, it's available for the Sony E mount, the Nikon Z mount, the Leica L mount. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about that. Mm-hmm. They're all talking about the fact that, wait a minute, what? It's available for the Canon RF? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had it on display there, but pricing and release date have not been announced. But look, if you're a wedding photographer or a cinematographer, 85-1.4 is a very popular lens, right? That's a sweet spot for wedding photography. 85-1.2, 85-1.4. That's a sweet spot for cinematography.
Heck, that's my favorite portrait.
Exactly. You know, this is the bride shot when you see the bride with a really, really just soft fade off to the background. This is an interesting product. But again, interesting has to be qualified with kind of like what we were talking about on the lights. Is this a $2,000 lens?
Yeah.
Is it a $3,000 lens or is this $1,200?
Right.
That's going to be the question.
Yeah, and no pricing information or release date information available. Still makes me wonder, is it the first approved? You know, makes me wonder because
you do it better than me. I don't know.
They're probably waiting around and sort of watching their back and looking over their shoulders like, is Canon about to slap me any minute now because I put this lens out here at NAB? Who knows?
And that's the thing. Let me ask you a question because I don't understand how that works. You've gone through all the R&D. You've gone through production to have something on the floor. Now, for all I know, it was a hollow shell, right?
All right.
But you've gone through enough to announce the product. There has to have been a conversation somewhere.
Yeah, there's checks and
availability and price. Why would you show it and not know that? I don't know. I don't understand that.
There has to be some checks and balances there. When you saw the lens, was it attached to a body?
You know, I don't remember. I don't think so.
I think that could be another giveaway too. If it's actually attached to a Canon body without the obvious adapter stuck on it, you know, because you could stick a...
Yeah, the day was a blur. I literally don't remember.
That's just Vegas in general. I know this. You're not fooling me.
Yeah, exactly. It was the whiskey bar that was the problem.
Of course. Now, one more thing before we get out of here. The audio side of things, because again, this is broadcasting. It's not just visuals, but it's audio and sound going out and about across these worldwide webs. What did you see on the audio side of things out there?
There were a bunch of things. There were some really cool new, you know, two-person clip-on mics from Saramonic and stuff. But one thing really stuck out to me because I have never gotten into the world of timecode.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of wanted to. And if you don't understand, timecode is the ability for you to use multiple cameras and have a universal code, literally a time code, that everything runs on for audio recordings and video recordings. So that when you bring, you know, Ant recorded on mic A, Steve recorded on mic B, Ant on camera A, Steve on camera B, wide shot for Steve on camera C, how do we get all these perfectly in sync without having to pull it up like I do, frame by frame, watching for somebody's clap?
Yep, lining up the waveform. Yeah.
Like, you've seen these things
before.
You
had the clappers.
Right? Yep. Right? We've seen these. Well, that's what those are for, is to sync audio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to go frame by frame trying to make sure that all the cameras are in sync. Well, timecode allows you to do that. And timecode is not cheap to get into, but at the Deity booth, they had something that they've had for a while, the TC1. That's a timecode unit that lets you attach it to a camera and get timecode into your footage. But they had something new. It's called a PR2 pocket recorder.
Hmm.
Now, I just said recorder. How does that have anything to do with time code? Well, it's both. It's a pocket recorder, and it's literally the, you know, maybe 2 inches by 2 inches. It's the size of a little clip on mic type thing. It's a pocket recorder that also does time code and 32-bit float audio.
Nice.
Which basically means you are not going to clip your audio. There's nice. So much headroom in a 32-bit float file that I could scream into my microphone right now and it would not clip and would be recoverable. Nice. 100%. So this was interesting to me, and I'll tell you why. If I'm an independent creator, local guy doing commercials for a car dealership or a wedding,
mm-hmm.
and you go to interview wedding guests at a wedding reception, and the one guy screams into your recorder, okay, you got 32-bit float, you're gonna save it. It's got a built-in microphone. It actually has a stereo mic and stereo line input, so you can put a mic in, or it has one.
Nice.
It's got a headphone monitor out, so you can monitor it.
Yep.
You control this by the Citus audio app, which is like the app we talked about controlling the lights with.
Okay.
You can control the settings on this from 250 feet away.
Wow. Right?
Records in wave format, 32-bit float. And think about this. To do time code, you wouldn't do time code unless you had multiple cameras that you needed to sync or multiple audio that you needed to sync. Well, to me, I saw this and thought this is the perfect pair where you put a TC1, which is just a time code generator, on your camera. And you use that to sync its time code to this new PR2. So now they are in perfect sync from a time code point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And you record on the PR2 in 32-bit float that wedding guest.
Yeah.
And you'll have no problem getting everything in perfect sync. This is a really interesting entry-level time code system to me.
Yeah, we've spoken about time code in Genlock a few times here on the network, specifically with our mutual friend, Mr. Alex Lindsay, of course, from Mac Break Weekly.
Who I got to see actually at NAB, which was awesome.
That's what's up. And then there's also, we spoke about it here recently on Ask the Tech Guys. That's the call-in show that Mr. Laporte and Mr. Sargent do on Sundays. And he had demoed a recorder that also featured 32-bit float. And the recorder that I have here on my desk, which you're familiar with, is a Mix Pre. It has 32-bit.
Same thing I'm using.
And I'm telling you, folks, if you can get your hands on a device like this, it will save your butt.
yeah, literally. I mean, because
it's not just the clipping, it's the low end too.
Oh, it's the low end too. It's all of it. And I just, again, I thought to myself, having that in a little portable thing,
yeah.
And the first thought that hit me was, and I apologize to the person I'm talking about if I know you, drunk guests at a wedding, when the videographer comes over to go, hey, you know, say something nice to the bride and groom, and they scream into the microphone. Right? This is a brilliant thing. Now, I will say the guy behind the counter, I tried pinning him down on price.
Yeah.
They're not available yet. They will be available soon. Air quotes again.
Right.
Available soon. But that seems to be the theme at NAB this time was available soon.
Well, they're looking over their shoulder for Canon too, right?
Exactly. And I said to the guy, how much is it? And he said, $200 to $300, which means they don't know.
Yeah.
It's to be determined.
Price analysis.
And I said to him at one point, I went, did you say $200 to $300? He goes, no, don't quote me on it.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not quoting him. It could be $800. But what he kind of seemed to think was $200 to $300. And I'm sorry, if you're doing this for a living, that's a really cheap entry
that's
to having
deal.
All your cameras and audio in sync. It really is.
That's a good deal, because that's a lot cheaper than this Mix Pre.
Yes. Even this Mix Pre, you would need a time code generator.
Yep, sure.
It supports time code, but it doesn't generate it on its own. And this is a $700-$800 mic interface.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Man. Now, one last thing. I just thought about this. We were texting the other day and you mentioned this camera. And I was like, yeah, I played around with this camera before. And when I touched it back, you know, a couple years ago, it wasn't quite ready. I could see what they were trying to do, and it was still pretty neat. But I had my issues with it because I think it was just one of those things of, all right, this is version one. We're trying to get this out and about and we're right. going to keep making it better. But you saw them here at NAB. Tell us yep. a little bit about this.
So the booth is OBSBot is what a lot of people call it. Mm-hmm. I call it OBSBot because mm-hmm. OBS is a streaming software like Ecamm Live.
Yeah.
I used OBS on my podcast for years and years and years. I've switched over to Ecamm Live.
I'm using now. OBS right now. I hadn't been using it, but since I've come to the Mac, I'm using OBS right now. Even allows me to do beautiful switching like this.
Yeah. OBS is a wonderful open source piece of software. And I'm sure that's where this name comes from, is that these are designed for, you know, streamers, right? But they have something called the Tail Air, which is, and the funny thing was, it was written in such a way where I had to say to the guy, is that an A or an I? He goes, no, it's both. T-A-I-L Air. I said, okay, cool. So the new version of this compared to what you had has some really cool features in it. It is a small camera. Has a base, a very heavy base with a 1/4-20 on the bottom. That base has a battery in it, so you don't technically need any wires. It will run off a battery and Wi-Fi, and it is an NDI camera signal. If you want power, it can be powered over Ethernet. They have also in it, there's an HDMI port. The one you Whoa, played with
didn't got
have
PoE an HDMI on port. It? Really?
It's got a USB-C port that supports their PoE adapter. So I'm guessing it's a PoE injector of some sort. So you can run it over Ethernet to get your NDI signal. You can power it over USB-C or PoE or charge it those ways. And then it has a battery, so you don't have to have that. It supports Wi-Fi too, if you don't want a wire. Like I might hang one up behind me. No wires. It'll run for an hour at least, maybe a couple hours on a battery. And the key thing about it is it's a full gimbal. It doesn't go full 360. Mm-hmm. It effectively goes, you know, 0 to 359, and then it has to go the other way.
Right.
But it's a follow camera. And so if you walk, once it gets you, it'll stay on you and follow you. So if I did this, the camera would pan.
Right.
If I did this, and it's very smooth. I was really impressed. But here's the cool thing. There was a point where I have this camera following me and I'm kind of videotaping it. I think I gave you footage if they can use it. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting because some guy walked up and he grabbed the gimbal and he pointed it straight down.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't follow me. And I'm like, I think we just broke it.
Right.
And the lady came over and goes, no, put your hand up like you're waving at it.
Yeah.
And I went like this. And suddenly the camera grabbed me and followed me. And if you do this again, the camera stops following you. And if you do an L, like a frame, you do this, it zooms in. Yep. You do this, it zooms out. So my only fear is, I stick this in front of Ant and I don't tell him that the follow can be turned off. And Ant goes, oh, look, Alex Lindsay's in the chat. Hi, Alex.
Yep. And it locks, right?
And I could see that happening. That probably was not the best gesture to come up with, like you're waving at somebody.
So those gestures were on the original ones. And it looks like they added an update to the L gesture where you can actually pan and zoom. Because I believe that was just more of a lock and to take a still or something at the time, but actually being able
now
to zoom
it
in,
zooms in, like zooms moving, wide.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
One downside though, mm-hmm. one downside of this compared to what you tried mm-hmm. years ago. And by the way, these are 4K cameras.
Yeah.
Years ago, it was an optical zoom. They've upgraded this thing, but now it's a digital zoom. And I said to the guy, that's not an upgrade. He goes, actually, it is. He goes, the original one that we had, the sensors were much smaller than we have now.
That was what I was going to ask. Is it a bigger sensor on this one, right?
And the lens, the glass itself was worse.
Okay.
So you were doing an optical zoom, but it was like doing an optical zoom with a crappy lens.
Yeah.
Now they've got beautiful glass. Yes, it's 4K. And if you zoom in and you really want to stream in 4K, you might be dropping lower than 4K to 1080. Mm-hmm. But it looks good. He said maybe a year from now, they're going to do another one that adds the optical zoom back in. but it looked really interesting. Pre-order is in June, he said, and he expects shipping in August or September. But the key thing to me here was NDI.
Yeah.
Which is a camera over the network that doesn't need a wire. And it'll do that over Wi-Fi at 4K with a built-in battery, which means on a set, there were some movie people and TV people there, by the way, talking to me.
Right.
Going, man, I could stick this thing in a plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't just have them all over the set.
Right.
But I could hide these in a plant and they would follow the person on set.
Yeah, I'd like to see how that would work, because we use NDI at Twitch Studios, of course, and it's such a convenient a protocol, if you will, and I worry about latency for something as small as this camera and processing
power. Especially over
Wi-Fi. Yeah, and the processing power in it, you know, like, I wonder what the latency would be like, because you're using studio cameras, it's a whole different story, you know, just the much bigger machines, smarter machines, if you will. But who knows?
But if you did it over Ethernet, I think you'd be fine. But of course, that leaves to be seen.
Yeah.
And I should have mentioned, they have a tiny, tiny version of this called the Tiny 2 webcam. Literally fits on top of a laptop screen. Yeah. It has voice control, so you can say goodnight, Tiny, and it turns itself off and looks down.
Oh, cool.
And you can say, you know, wake up, Tiny, and it wakes up. Same thing. It will follow you.
Very nice.
Has an app where you can smooth the skin. Put it this way, this company looks like they're doing some kind of cool innovations. I was looking forward to it.
That's good stuff. I'll have to look into this again. Because like I said, when I first got my eyes on them and hands on them, you could see where they were going. It just wasn't there yet. And that happens. That's fine. You know, you could say that just about any consumer product nowadays at version 1.
Yeah.
You know, sweet. Well, my man, we're going to have to get on up out of here. And I want to give you a few minutes to let everybody know some of the other things that you are working on. And, you know, tell us about you. You mentioned a YouTube channel at the beginning of the show. What's this YouTube channel of yours?
What a great segue. the YouTube channel, air quotes. I do my own show. It's totally different from Ants. It's called Behind the Shot. I have a guest on. Usually, I mean, there's special episodes that are a different format, but on Behind the Shot, I have a guest come on, a photographer. We pick one of their shots and we dissect it. So basically try and get inside the mind of that great photographer by taking a closer look behind one shot. And it's Behind the Shot on YouTube is where you can find it. The website is behindtheshot.tv. And then from the pictures on the wall behind me, you may guess I'm a music photographer. I photograph concerts, and you can find my stuff at stevebrazel.com or Steve Brazel on Instagram, Twitter, or Mastodon. It's like the country Brazil, but two L's.
Nice. And that show, folks, it is such a really, really good show. Because he okay. The difference between Mr. Brazel and I, when he has a guest, he asked the right questions to get to get the answer out. And when they're going in and dissecting the different images there, that he knows the questions to ask and the right buttons to push, because you really do get into the mind of the photographer at that time. It's not just them going out there and spray and pray with their camera. It's a legit thought process, and it shows up in the image every single time. It is a stellar show. I highly, highly recommend it. So, Mr. Brazel, my man, thank you so much for joining me this week. I really do appreciate your time and the information you dropped for everybody here in the hands-on photography community.
I appreciate you having me, my friend. It's good to see you. I was hoping I'd see you at NAB. Unfortunately, I didn't, but we got to get together one of these days soon.
I plan on it, my man. I plan on it. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank y'all so much for watching and listening and continuing to support us. Feel free to shoot me a message if you have any questions, comments, feedback, or guest suggestions. Just shoot me an email. Good old school email. It still works, dadgummit. hop@twit.tv is the email address. Again, it's hop@twit.tv. Comments, questions, feedback, even image critiques if you want them. If you just want to show off some images to me, that's fine too. Go ahead and send those over. if you're fine with me showing your images or your email content, as far as like the questions that you may ask on the show as a potential episode, please say so, because I don't want to put your information out there without your consent. Okay, so just let me know in the message, hey, you can use this image on the show. All right. Thank you all again. I really do appreciate the support. Want to give a shout out to my man, Mr. Victor, for making me look and sound good each and every week and putting up the wonderful website up on the screen right now. That's twit.tv/HOP, where you'll see all of the previous episodes, all of the show notes. You'll see the subscription options because we're available on all of the different podcasts. Platform. So whatever your favorite podcast app is, go subscribe, go rate, go like, go share, all of that good stuff. So share it with a friend and share it with at least one enemy just to really get on their nerves too. All right, folks, y'all take care. Hey, continue to be safe out there and create and dominate. And we'll see you next time.
If you love all things Android, well, I've got a show for you to check out. It's called All About Android, and I'll give you three guesses what we talk about. We talk about Android, the latest news, hardware, apps. We answer feedback. It's me, Jason Howell, Ron Richards, Wintuit Dao, and a whole cast of awesome characters talking about the operating system that we love. You can find All About Android at twit.tv/AAA.